RTL Stories, the podcast with Lisa Burke from RTL Group.
Make decisions and take responsibility makes you a leader, because some people think you become a leader when you have people working for you. No, that's just becoming a boss. But becoming a leader is, I think, one of the most important parts is to give space next to yourself. That's the real fun part.
Why we stay in media?
Oh, that was an accident, actually, many, many years ago. And I stayed because probably I fall in love and I wasn't even aware of it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to RTL Stories, the podcast. I'm Lisa Burke, based here in RTL City in Luxembourg. And in this series, we explore the lives of extraordinary people who have made RTL their career home, investigating what they do and how they got there. And today I'm joined by somebody who has been at the heart of Hungarian media for over two decades. Gabriela Vidus is the CEO of RTL Hungary, and under her leadership, the company has transformed into a digital powerhouse, launched RTL Plus, and secured major content rights like the Champions League. She's been named the most influential woman in Hungarian media by Forbes for 10 years running, and she's here to share her journey, insights, and vision for the future of broadcasting. So welcome to the show, and welcome back to Luxembourg, Gabriela.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
I know you spend a lot of time here through the year in Luxembourg, but we're going to really focus on Hungary and RTL in Hungary. So for those who don't know the media landscape in Hungary so well, can you just set that scene for us?
I think in Hungary, the media landscape is a little bit different than, let's say, in the Western European countries. We are always a little bit behind with the trends, which gives us a really good lead time to make our strategies and changes. But in another way, as we are being a smaller country, sometimes change is happening with a speed that you cannot even foresee. In Hungary, commercial television has been launched since 1997. This is when two commercial channels have been launched. And since then, basically, these two commercial channels are fiercely fighting for the leadership position. But as you already mentioned, RTL have started a transformation, a digital transformation, basically just right after COVID, when obviously the consumer habits have rapidly changed just like everywhere else. And that gave us the boost and the possibility to make RTL Plus, the streaming platform, happen. And since that, I may say that, yes, the linear platform's audience is super important for us, but we have a little bit different priority of how we see figures now, especially that now we know how audience have transformed its viewing habits, how our audience is not always in front of the big TV, or even if they are in front of a big TV, they are not watching linear channels, and how we must appreciate that, and how much we don't know about those consumer habits yet. And I think this is why linear audience figures are super important, but not as much as they used to be.
And they certainly don't give the full picture at all. Now, apart from the competition and the rivalry there that you've set up, there's another thing in Hungary, which are the legislative constraints, which differ from other parts of Europe, parts of Western Europe, as you said also. So again, how does RTL Hungary fit into the scene where you have constraints on what you might want to produce?
Actually, it's not about what we want to produce. There are no constraints on that. For example, in Hungary, the maximum length of the daily news is restricted, which might sound weird, but that means that on a given weekday, our main news is only 45 minutes, which previously used to be 55, even 60 minutes, depending on the news or the different subjects. That's a quite big restrictions, I think, which is not something we are happy about. We cannot do the changes, but we're trying to, let's say, put as much information in that 45 minutes as much as we can. Also in Hungary, for example, not just on the media side, but on the advertising spending side, there are specific legislative changes. For example, in Hungary, if you are an advertiser, there is a set percentage you have to pay for your media agency, which is like 15%. We're talking about lot of money here, and that really changed, that legislative 15% have changed, I'm not saying the distribution, but the thinking of the agencies, for example. These things are, how should I say, part of our everyday life. We don't find it particular, probably you find it particular, but I still have to say that the media landscape itself, or the content making, I would rather say, the creativity is still flourishing, because creativity is about people and people minds, and you cannot put any kind of legislative, you know, thing on anybody's head, what's in your head and what is in your fantasy and what do you create. So I'm very happy that we are working with fantastic producers and news editors and reporters whose mind is flourishing on our screens. And I think this is the best possible thing, that why RTL's presence, being the leading independent international media in Hungary, is very important. Because the other particular part in Hungary is that, I'm not even saying a handful, it's less than a handful of international media presence in Hungary. All the big international media players have left Hungary. We only have smaller players in the television market, but those smaller players, for example, do not produce news. As in the Hungarian media landscape, the other big particular interesting part is that a decade ago, a huge media conglomerate have been created by independent owners who voluntarily has given up their ownership and put their media assets into one media company, which is called Kesma, that represented at one point 226 media outlets in Hungary. Basically, they could reach the Hungarian population very easily. They have centralized editorial teams for the regional websites, for the press, for the national websites, which is obviously gives a huge power to the owners, who are, by declaration, are pro-government. And having such a huge media reach, and then the independent media is naturally pushed into a position, then you have to represent the opposition, which we can't, because we are independent. We have to be standing in the middle, I think, which is the loneliest position you can have in Hungary, as I said. Our values of how we make news has not changed. And one of the key cornerstones of that, for example, in Hungary, we have the longest standing news director, Robert Kotrocó, who is in the helm of the news for 25 years. And as a person, he's also, let's say, representing a value. And also his team is a big security for all of us, and even people who are giving like interviews or giving us information, that we checking on news, we are being credible. We proudly say that by Reuters, for decades we are being the most trusted media among television, and this year we have been the most trusted media full stop in Hungary. As elections are coming up in Hungary next April, supposedly, which seem to be far, but it's absolutely not far for a news team. The attacks against RTL are being, let's say, put on a different volume, what we feel already. So this season's start is basically starting of the election season, what we feel already.
Well, you've explained so many different ideas in that statement, and what I'm hearing is the curation of media is very, very important to build trust. You have to do so because you have a time limit for the news on a daily basis. Fact checking is very important, and the trust is also built because you have people in positions of authority like yourself. You've been a long-standing CEO, and also the news director, who stand like a flagpole there, and so they've built trust over generations. You also mentioned the word lonely, and you know, as a CEO, as a female CEO, that's a rather lonely position too. So how do you stand strong when you're constantly attacked?
With the help of my team, we have a fantastic team, more than 550 people. And I think what is really important, that we are understanding why we are there. We don't always agree with each other, which is very, very important. And to have a sounding board for yourself, I think this is what makes you sane, and this is what makes you grounded, I think this is a good word.
And when you have a disagreement within the team for a decision, how do you come to the consensus of what to do to move forward?
Most of the times I have to restrict myself. I have a very, how should I say, vocal personality sometimes, which at least I know about myself, and I can do some self-reflection and give space for other opinion. And let's say in this last many decades, I had to learn about myself. And actually, this is a constant road. And to give space and make people decision, for you, I think is a very reassuring situation, especially when they begin to flourish in this situation. Obviously, make decisions and take responsibility makes you a leader, because some people think you become a leader when you have people working for you. No, that's just becoming a boss. But becoming a leader is, I think, one of the most important parts is to give space next to yourself. And I think that's the real fun part.
Another part of being a leader is that everybody wants a piece of you. They want you at events. They want to have a photo with you. And in this environment, which is highly scrutinized from the outside, as you've so eloquently explained, how do you choose to say yes to things, to say no to things, and even in photos, who to stand next to?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I'm very cautious with my time outside of work because I don't have too much. I'd rather say no to functions than yes. Maybe that's not the best thing about being a CEO, but I don't think that I'm doing my job to be always there when I need to be, because it's not only me who can represent the company. As I said, I have really great team members, and sometimes, let's say, content makers should more be representing the company than always the CEO. I try to go to places where I think my presence adds to the representation, just to be somewhere because they expect me to. I'm not obeying those expectations sometimes.
But being a CEO of a media company, particularly a female CEO perhaps, the scrutiny is different compared to other CEO positions, let's say a pharma company or some other company. And so how do you think about that? And why do you remain in media? Your skill set is such that, as you said, you know how to make decisions, you know how to be a leader above being a boss. Why have you stayed in media?
Oh, that was an accident, actually, many, many years ago. And I stayed because probably I fall in love and I wasn't even aware of it. I'm not coming from the content making, I'm coming from the money making part of it. And I think the speed of changes, which are very close to my heart, is up to my speed. I love this speed. That gives, you know, the power, that gives the excitement, that gives, you know, that anything is possible in media. And I don't see currently any other industry which give it to me. And I also have the feedback from people who are joining the company because we need new skill sets and we need new direct-to-consumer people, mostly coming from telco, actually. And telco is an exciting industry, but even for them, it's surprising what a media company requires as a speed of change, a speed of decision-making, a speed of how quickly success and failure is happening, because we really have the moments from zero to hero within a day or even a couple of weeks. You have a program which is a talk of town and everybody wants to know about RTL. Doesn't matter if it's main channel or RTL Plus. And then you make a program which is not successful, then everybody is basically canceling you. In one season, we have more than two dozens of titles, you know, like once up, once down. But still this stress, which is really like a roller coaster, is not for everyone, I must say. And I think if you come to media, whether it really sucks you in and then holds you, or you just say, sorry, guys, this is not for me.
But the failures in media are quite obvious, they're quite apparent. And I suppose that's quite hard to just suck up and push forward. So how do you deal with the failures? And are you really allowed to fail?
Of course, I think you have to allow yourself to fail. The other question is whether the people who are judging you will judge you anyhow, because it's media. The other interesting part is, like, for example, you know, you come to work for us in an administrative position, you're not in a content making, you're still being more judged by your circle than before, where you were doing the same thing at a not media company, because everybody has an opinion about media. Everybody thinks something about RTL, but you have to differentiate your position and your personality. That's different. Mm-hmm. This is not a question when you're working for a pharma or a telco company all the time. You are not so much judged by the product. We are judged every day. You have to accept it. It's pointless to fight against this.
You also mentioned the speed of transformation is something that you really love, the fast speed of transformation. And, you know, we've spoken a little bit about RTL Plus and how the platform has evolved. I mentioned right at the top, you now have secured broadcasting rights for the Champions League, starting with the 24-25 season. That was a major milestone. How did you get that?
It happened when the Champions League tender was announced. At that time, we were already be part of the Champions League team, only being broadcasting the second package of Europa League. We were invited to the tender as per usual, and actually we had a meeting here in this building on the 9th floor with two of my colleagues, Peter Kolosi and Balázs Szabó, and we were actually waiting for the rest of the team to arrive with another plane as per usual. And then we begin to discuss, the tender documents have arrived, these are the deadlines. And it was really a mind game, you know, what if? And I like to ask the question, why not? And literally it started with a couple of minutes of spare time and two of the best content people in the country. And we just got a spark and we just made a very quick calculation, and we also surprised us that it might work out financially. And we dare to pitch it. And then this whole idea, I think it made everybody in this building so excited that we really had a chance on a big scale to get the Champions League rights, full package digital rights on the Hungarian market for a launching product for RTL Plus. And I think when we won it, we did not even realize how big it is until it really started last August, basically. But now we have fully embraced it and we see it's financially working out, or let's say, or imagination of how interesting it is for RTL Plus audience is spot on, I must say. So I'm very proud of the team. And the extra cherry on the cake is that this season's, basically the 2026 Champions League final is in Budapest. So we will become host broadcasters. And obviously the whole slogan of this year is the road to Budapest, which makes, you know, the whole country even more excited about it.
So as I said, it's going to be a very busy coming year.
It will be a very busy year.
The election's one end and this the other.
Yeah, but I think the election is even, we had a discussion this week among the leaders in the building, and somebody asked Robert, the head of news, that, you know, how you're preparing. And he said, guys, we do this now for the last 25 years, every 4 years, basically every second year, there is some kind of an election in the country. So for them, I must say it's a seasonal business as usual, but they always try to make it a little bit different, something that it only RTL gives to the audience.
Well, it comes back to the position. You have a great team, but the loneliness of a CEO, who do you turn to when you have those moments? You have the North Star values set by RTL Group Bertelsmann, but when you are not entirely sure of a decision, you've got all of the advice all around you, where do you find the final decision-making?
My best secret advisor, who is not so secret, is actually my husband, I must say, who is absolutely not from the industry, but he's opinion matters me the most. And sometimes, as I said, an external view can give you that very last push. And he is my secret weapon.
Well, congratulations to him. Along with this work, you have been lauded as Forbes top female in media for 10 years. That's a decade. That's an extraordinary achievement. And I'm absolutely sure it's well-deserved, but it also begs the question, where are the other women?
And I keep asking that question as well. And I also have to say, I'm not a big fan of those lists, but I accept they exist. and it's not your choice to be on it or not. I think it's part of the position to represent the company. But I also see that the voice of women, especially in the leadership position, is not, I'm not saying not represented because everybody talks about it, but somehow it's not really coming up. I'm very thankful and I'm really fortunate to have other female C-level executive in my team. And we have many more on the operational level as well. But for example, in other media companies, the pipeline is slow. I'm not saying it's not existing, but it's very slow. And I think if there is a young female talent in content, in sales, in digital, in finance, whatever, I'm not sure it's media their first choice. Mostly because the reasons I told you. When you are in media, you are always on stage. You are always being judged. I think in the current world where judgment is basically part of social media, it's part of your life. Do you want to come to a media company when you can do, I don't know, you can grow yourself, maybe even faster, being your own content curator or going for smaller companies outside of media? I see there female leaders flourishing faster than in media. I think media is emotionally more stressful for female leaders, and mainly because of this constant performance push or performance expectation from the crowd, from the public, from the industry, from everywhere.
Would you do media if you were a young person today?
Oh, that's a very tough question. I think I would, because of the speed. I love the speed of this, our industry, and I know that a lot of people, let's say, judge me being very impatient of, you know, expecting performers or things should happen faster. But I know this about myself. But this is what drives me. And I said, like, the transformation or my drive for change is something that media is a perfect industry for.
And I just want to pick up on the point that you said for some, well, you were talking about females in the instance of the example, could make it better, quicker on their own. So that obviously made me think about social media. And of course, you are thinking about transformation all the time. And yet you have a very loyal linear TV watching audience in Hungary, it turns out. So how, as a media company, are you thinking about the interaction of social media individuals and their content producing compared to the expensive curated content that RTL Hungary is producing? And you find there is an overlapping Venn diagram situation?
Individual content makers or influencers 10 years ago were basically not even coming for an interview for a linear channel because we were the outdated, old-fashioned media. But as time goes by and being a content maker in the social world, doesn't matter which platform you choose, has become so saturated. That competition is really fierce compared to what you see on two main channels on a Saturday evening. That's at least even level. I think what you see on social media and content making, especially now with AI, where even the language barrier is no longer there. And I think there, to build your own brand, which has really values, is being tougher and tougher, and if you always have to push your limits to remain relevant for your audience, because if they join you, you have to keep them, and it's so easy to switch. And I think the old boring, and I'm saying it in quotation mark, linear channels who have brand values, which they stick to for the last almost three decades, comes to very handy, because we are content curators. When somebody's switching on RTL, they know what to expect. When somebody's switching on a social channel, you know, you know what to expect, but maybe the content maker changes its mind and, you know, representing something else. Their consistency is not always there, and for them to stand out, they begin to need or greens. So the last couple of years, what we fear that we could at least build very, very healthy content cooperation with social media content makers. And even today we discussed with the team, for example, a very new approach of even producing long form together with social media partners who requested one of our old brands to be reused again, for example, because they realized that even if it's a 20-year-old brand, it's actually built. You don't need to explain it to the audience. So it's very important to see those trends and understand why the audience, why the Hungarian audience is a little bit different than, for example, the Luxembourgish or the German, and how they are still very, very similar. And I think this is the heart of our decision making, that always serve the audience and be where they will be. And we need to be a little bit ahead of that. Sometimes even the audience doesn't know why they're going to go there, but we have to see that and a little bit, just a tiny little bit before to be there.
Mm-hmm. Well, bringing it back to you, actually, you mentioned that you accidentally fell into media because you studied tourism and hotel management and marketing economics. And so I know that when we spoke before, you have this future dream, perhaps. I don't know where in your five-year planning. I'm sure you're very good at planning. But you spoke about a boutique hotel with about 15 rooms. And do you have a vision for your next 5 years?
I'd say every time I went on a vacation, I always, you know, when you are sitting in, I don't know, on a terrace, whether it's like you're skiing or you're on a beach, you know, you see an abandoned house and then you imagine, oh, I could make something here. And like, I love to play with this idea. But I also have to admit that being part of such a huge corporation, being an individual entrepreneur, I'm not sure I would be good at, honestly. It's like, I never tried. It's very different.
I think we could all concur you would be good at anything you tried.
Thank you so much. But as I said, I always like to play with this idea. And yes, hospitality is very close to my heart. And actually, hospitality has big similarities with media industry, because when a room is not sold, you cannot sell it the next day. It's the same with airtime. If that 30-second place or that GRP is not sold today, it cannot be sold tomorrow. So it's not like a physical asset or what we are selling here. Obviously, the product is very different, but it has to be consumer-centric because people come in front of television for spending their spare time, just like when you go into a hotel most of the time when you spend your spare time. As I said, there are very big similarities among those industries, and maybe when I retire, I will go back.
Well, as you've mentioned and underlined in various different ways, our spare time, how we choose to spend it and things we say yes and no to. Thank you for your time here in Luxembourg and sharing your extraordinary life story with us through the story of RTL Hungary and how it has changed and transformed over the last few years in a very, very rapid way. So we will definitely have our eyes open for everything that's happening in an exciting 2026 in Hungary. And thank you all to the listeners for everything that you have provided in comments and feedback for this podcast series as well. Of course, we love hearing from you. This is where the audience interaction matters a lot. And you can continue to send us your thoughts through the RTL Group intranet in the comment section, or get in touch through one of the various social media channels. You know where they're all found: RTL Group on LinkedIn, on Instagram and YouTube. And with that, we wish you a wonderful week ahead. Thank you.